Brian.
Yes, Jessica.
We have a caregiving expert on with us today.
Are we able to hire her?
Honestly, like we might actually bring her on. She does a lot of training. So, Catherine, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you. I'm so excited for you to share all your wealth of knowledge about what it's like to care, not even just care for a Parkinson's person living with Parkinson's, but just being a caregiver in general. So that's what we're talking about. Welcome to The Secret Life of Parkinson's, a podcast created by people living with Parkinson's to help break the stigma of a disease no one likes to talk about. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Krauser and Brian Baker. So tell us a little bit about your background of how you got into what you're doing.
Okay. Well, my name is Catherine Otan. I'm actually the owner of Parkinson Partners. I'm a board certified patient advocate. And I consult with folks that have Parkinson's and neurological, let's say, chronic conditions, some that have like Alzheimer's, MS, things like that. And how I fell into this, literally fell into it, was I've been an entrepreneur now. This is 43 years that I've been an entrepreneur, owning my own businesses. And in 2004, my husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's. It hit us out of the blue. He'd had symptoms for quite a few years. We just did not recognize it. We didn't know anyone except, of course, Michael J. Fox and Muhammad Ali and a few others that, you know, were on TV and talking about it. But when he was diagnosed, it took 3 years, actually, for the diagnosis. Because first they said, oh, you have essential tremor. And I know a lot of people start off with that diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, well, it's probably not, but if you notice any new symptoms, let us know. Well, we got back home and we started talking about, okay, so he's having trouble speaking loudly. Okay, his handwriting is not as good as it used to be. Are those symptoms? We didn't know. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the third year, they finally sent us to a movement disorder specialist in our community. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And my husband is Cajun French, and the name is pronounced Otan, like Otan my hide. It's A-U-T-I-N. My maiden name was Johnson. Uh-huh. And so I had lived in, and I do speak French, but I'd lived in France. And it was just the perfect match for us. We've now been married 47 years. Hmm. But when he was diagnosed, what was really scary was they didn't tell us about any support groups. They basically, the doctor said, okay, I think you have Parkinson's, but there's no blood test. So I'm just doing these little, you know, touch your hand to your mm-hmm. nose, do this real fast, you know, like this, and then draw some circles and whatever. And then let's walk. So he wasn't swinging his arm. He wasn't speaking very loudly. And when the doctor diagnosed him, he said, I think you have Parkinson's, so I'm going to give you carbidopa levodopa, mm-hmm. Which is known as Sinemet. It was actually, I think it's the late 60s was when it was actually brought into the medical world to help people with Parkinson's. And he said, if that helps you, then my diagnosis is correct. Mm-hmm. And then I'll see you in a year. And okay, so we walked out of this doctor's movement disorder specialist office and we looked at each other and said, what now? And yeah. I said, what the hell?
Where do we go from here?
Right.
Before we left the office, I asked the nurse if I could take one of the books that they had about Parkinson's, and it was Parkinson's for Dummies.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Nice title.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, I'll read up on Parkinson's and I'll learn about what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But we were given nothing other than what I asked for. There was no brochure. There was no, hey, you might be able to go to the support group and get some help and have someone there to guide you. Mm-hmm. Nothing, nothing, nada. And I just finished writing my book about this whole 21 year journey with my husband. And a big part of what I wrote about was how could a doctor give you a diagnosis and not even give you something
yeah.
to help you?
And that was 21 years ago.
From the very beginning.
That was 21 years ago. And it still hasn't changed.
We talk
every month that
have that same experience.
Same experience today.
So the way Catherine found us was she saw one of the kits in I don't remember where you saw it at, but so she saw the kit, my information was in there, and then she reached out.
Nice.
Yeah, it was Michael J. Fox.
One of the representatives that I met.
Yes, she was there, and she was showing folks the box, and I had gotten there early to this meeting at Norton Hospital in Louisville. And I went and looked at the box, and I said, what a great idea. I love that. Mm-hmm. Because I've been running support groups for 21 years. And that's the kind of thing that I always talk about is, what do you need to know right from the get-go? Mm-hmm. So your box was just this brilliant idea, and I just had to contact you.
Thank you.
Now we need a box for the support group.
I know. That's actually something that we've talked about.
A bottle of alcohol, sleeping pills, ibuprofen, Tylenol.
So what are your, like, let's, because I know you and I talked for a long time when you first reached out. So if we had to focus on, like, what are, like, the top five things that you would want to make sure, like, every care partner should know?
Yes. That's the key to what I teach, because in my support groups, I don't just do the support. I teach about Parkinson's.
Oh, and
I
I'm
also
sorry.
Teach at senior living facilities.
Is it, when you teach, is it online as well, or is it just in person?
No, it's in person right now.
Okay.
I did do, during COVID, I ran a global group for Parkinson's.
Okay.
And for caregivers. But the group that I'm running right now, and I'm a 24/7 caregiver now for my husband. He falls a lot, mm-hmm. and in March he had a brain bleed, and he can't go anywhere without his U-step walker. So, but as a caregiver, there's some key things that we need to know right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is, when someone is diagnosed with something as chronic as Parkinson's, where there's, everyone has a different experience, no one progresses at the same rate, and not everybody has a tremor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of people are like, but he doesn't have a tremor. Yet you can have Parkinson's and not have a tremor.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the keys is, I always give everybody a list of symptoms and a list of precursors, so they can go, oh, that's what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know that was Parkinson's. And then they can realize Parkinson takes 20 to 30 or more years to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks have no idea. They think, oh, I was just diagnosed, so I just got Parkinson's. That's not normally how it happens. It takes a long time for it to develop. And we know now with my husband, he's probably had symptoms more than 47, probably, I'm guessing 50 years, mm-hmm. maybe more. Where he comes from in South Louisiana, it is, let's just say, lots of toxicity,
mm-hmm.
in the ground, the air, the oil industry, and other industries there. And as a caregiver, in the very beginning, you have to give your person that has been diagnosed a little bit of grace, because sometimes they're in denial. And it's really hard for a caregiver to get your loved one to do the exercises and do, mm-hmm. everything they're supposed to do right from the beginning. And so you have to give them grace. And that's a hard thing, because you want to jump in and you need to do this and you need to do this. And it's really overwhelming. So caregivers really need to give your loved one a little bit of grace, especially in the beginning, to deal with it, to learn some of the things on their own if they want. In my case, my husband didn't want to learn. He just wanted to go back to work. He was diagnosed and he said, oh, good. I'm not losing my mind, because that's what he thought.
So what about people, what about caregivers, and maybe these people you don't see, but what about the caregivers that might also be in denial and they're not pushing them as, you know, as you said, as I know a lot of people do, but.
Well, that's part of where I came in as a patient advocate consultant is, mm-hmm. I had people reaching out to me that had been diagnosed with Parkinson's, but their loved ones, family or friends even, were just denying that they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, well, why can't you do that? Or why can't you get dressed faster? what's taking so long? They didn't understand, but they weren't willing to learn. So those individuals who had Parkinson's reached out to me and hired me as their consultant to guide them, to teach them, because I don't just teach about the disease. What I try to do is a lifestyle consultant. Mm-hmm. So I help them look at what is it you can do to enjoy your life? What is it that you can do? There's two key things with Parkinson's, your medicines and exercise. Mm-hmm. They're really, those are the two, you know, obviously there's all kinds of therapies, medications, surgeries, whatever. But if you don't get your medicines right, mm-hmm. it's really hard to do those exercises.
What about if people are dealing with like apathy and depression? Is that like, how can you help them there?
In those cases, what I usually do is refer them to a neuropsychologist mm-hmm. and get an assessment so that they can kind of look at things from a professional point of view. And sometimes very often they have to go on some kind of medication to help that, because with Parkinson comes, and it increases over time, anxiety. Mm-hmm. Apathy can set in. Some people really have terrible time with depression. It's understandable, and it's such a unique disease. I call it a monster. It's kind of a monster because it does change. Mm-hmm. And in the very beginning, you'll start off and you'll be pretty okay for a few years. And then the honeymoon stage is usually maybe 5, maybe 7 years, depends. Yeah. And then you start having more changes, and the medicine may not work as well. You might have some off time where you're like, wait, I took my medicine, but why did it turn off in an hour?
Yeah.
What's going on? It's the on-off phenomenon. And it's frustrating because you never know what's going to happen.
So I think you already gave a number one and two, and I totally cut you off with that and going into other conversations. So going on still like the top five, what would you say number three would be?
Find a support group. Mm-hmm. Because, and I'm not saying this, support groups, you can learn from each other. It's not easy to see people who are further along. And a lot of people will go to a support group and they see somebody in a wheelchair and they're like, you know, I don't want to see that. But you can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And some of those folks that are in the wheelchair can say, don't do what I did. Mm-hmm. And those are key lessons that the caregiver and the person with Parkinson's needs to hear. So that's actually how I learned about Parkinson's. I read, yes, I did all that. But I started running support groups almost from the minute that he was diagnosed, because nobody in our community was a young onset patient. Mm-hmm. He was 51 and they're like, he's a young onset. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to run a group and I said, yes, I jumped in. But I learned from all the other folks in the group. And the first thing I learned was a gentleman who had Parkinson's since 1991. Mm. And he had been doing exercises and he had kept, it looked like a scroll. He had kept all of his information and he unrolled it like a scroll. And he's like, this is what I've been doing. And it's helping me. I'm not falling. I feel okay. I have had lots of progression, and so it kind of gave me this thought that exercise has to be a key part of it. Uh-huh. And it doesn't mean you have to kill yourself exercising. Mm-hmm. But shortly after that, I learned that there were some very specialized exercises, LSVT big mm-hmm. and LSVT loud. And so I was on the board at this nonprofit here. And so I helped raise funds and brought the community together to bring in experts who could teach our folks mm-hmm. how to do those therapies.
Yeah.
And my husband knows them by heart. Those are key. If you as a caregiver are not willing to learn about the disease, you need to find somebody who can help your loved one through the journey, because mm-hmm. every journey is different.
Yep.
And the frustrating part is, and I'll be totally honest, I had some clients who had Parkinson's who hired me and their families fired me.
Oh.
Because they were like, he doesn't need to know this. The doctor's going to tell him what to do. And that's not really true because the doctor gives medicine. They don't teach you how to live with this disease.
They don't. They do not.
Nope.
I like what we talked about the one time or the last time that we spoke is you don't just talk, you just don't educate the caregiver and the patient about taking care of the patient. You also talk about what it's like to take care of yourself and how important that is.
Absolutely. One of the things I have learned now, I've been doing this 21 years, and in the very first years, maybe 4 years, it wasn't too difficult. But then things started changing. And year five, we didn't know it, but he was underdosed, way underdosed. And he was really having trouble moving. He would sit in we have a rocking chair, and he would sit in the rocking chair, and he was, you know, he was young, and he looked like he was like 85 or something, just bent over, couldn't lift his arms, couldn't lift his legs. And I had to get a physical therapist who was a specialist here to agree that he could go in for a 2-week, what they call medication holiday, where they put you in the rehab facility and they take you off your medicines one at a time to see what is happening. What are the responses you're having?
Huh.
At the same time, they did physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy to see if it helped. And it wasn't till the last day that he was there that the doctor came in. He said, well, you're just not taking enough Requip. You're taking 8 milligrams. You need 16 milligrams. So you need 2 pills. And the nurse came in that night, and this was our last night there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm telling this is the reason I became a patient advocate, a professional patient advocate, was that night the nurse came in, and there was only one pill in the cup. And I looked in the cup, and I was like, well, where's the second pill? And she said, oh, the pharmacy didn't get it in time. So, you know, and I just looked at her, and I was boiling, like, what the... So I calmed down and I said, I want you to imagine what it's like, because my husband couldn't turn over in bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
He literally felt like he was in a coffin.
Aww.
He had to whisper. He wouldn't. This is.
Big news. The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale. And it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I mean, I know this is hard to hear, but he would whisper to me and he'd go, I can't turn over.
Oh, wow.
Can you help?
Yeah.
And he couldn't. And so I would jump out of bed, my heart racing, and he was like a rock, mm-hmm. like a statue. I could barely push him over. And that went on for more than a month until we did get into that hospital. But that night, because he had that second pill, he could turn over in bed.
Hmm.
He could move around easily. And for a couple of years, he was in a better spot. Only because I stood up for him.
Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised that why wouldn't the doctor recognize that of him, like seeing him over time and not increasing his meds? Like, doesn't that feels like a pretty normal thing?
It would be, except you don't see doctors, movement disorder specialists. You might see them every 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's you're lucky if you see them once a year, mm-hmm. at least in our community, because they're overwhelmed yeah. with patients. But that night, my husband, we call it our miracle. he was able to move. He could turn over. he looked more alive.
Yeah.
He felt better. But the next morning driving home, I looked at him. I said, "We are really lucky." And I said, "If I hadn't spoken up and said something, you probably would have ended up going to a senior living facility."
Wow.
Much sooner than you needed to.
Wow.
I was already afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, no, we're not that far into the diagnosis.
Right.
And so all of my heart was like, I have to help others not get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, family members are sometimes in denial. They're mm-hmm. also afraid of the doctors. This is not good, but it's true. Many people go to the doctor and they're afraid to push the envelope and ask the questions that need to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a pushy, persistent person like me, you're going to miss having the best opportunity to get your best outcome with a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if you don't ask the questions.
We just talked to some people before about being honest with a doctor, though, too. Because
yes.
Well, being honest with yourself and then
being honest with yourself, then allowing it to use yourself to be honest with the doctor, because you're like, oh, I'm fine. If you say go in there and say everything's great and he didn't see you need to increase your medication, then he's not going to.
But, that's right.
And that's
he
where
can't read your mind.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where
he
I think
can't, Kevin, and he doesn't see you at home like right. like your loved one, you're like a spouse or a family member would.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is where I am, is I track my husband's situation with his medicines, his blood pressure, a mm-hmm. week before we see the doctor to see if there's a pattern. We've been doing that for years, and it really has made a difference. And I became a Parkinson's expert probably after about, I don't know, 10 years or whatever it was, because I've worked with hundreds of people with Parkinson's. You know, most of them, I worked with them without any pay. I just helped them as mm-hmm. best I could, either on the phone or meeting with them at their homes or whatever. And then I've had clients pay me as a consultant over time as well. If I could, I would give everybody all my free time.
Mm-hmm. I know.
If I could be
nice.
Sponsored to do that, I would, you know, but I'm trying to keep my life going.
Yeah.
My situation going. Because as a caregiver, you have to change your position in life. I still have two companies I run. My book is coming out, I think, in April. I just sent the last Yay! Edits last night.
That's great. So, congrats. Congrats.
But it's about my journey as a caregiver, but it's a teaching book also
mm-hmm.
for people with Parkinson's and for their caregivers. The bottom line is you have to adjust. And what I call myself the pivot queen,
mm-hmm.
because when I started my journey with David, I'd already been an entrepreneur for 22 years and I had no idea what to do. And so as soon as he was diagnosed, I realized within a few months that I would have to adjust how I was running. I had an international six-figure jewelry business
mm-hmm.
doing manufacturing and designing, and you couldn't continue to do that with demand for my time and my attention, if mm-hmm. you will, to watch what was going on so I could ask the right questions at the
yeah.
doctors. So I started a consulting firm to help businesses write business plans, marketing plans, mm-hmm. design websites, and I could do that on my own time. My other business, I reorganized it so it was almost all online. Like I didn't go away for trade shows or anything like that. You have to adjust as a caregiver. And it's a constant pivot game. Like you're moving chess pieces around
yeah.
with your life. But as a caregiver, if you don't stick up for your loved one at the doctor's appointments, and I know in the very beginning, you as a patient are able to answer all the questions, but as you get further along, mm-hmm. it's harder to concentrate. Your ability to multitask,
mm-hmm.
listen to the doctor, make decisions, move the way he wants you to, it interferes with your thought process. And very often my husband will answer no to a thing, and I'm over there going, yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
Well,
because, you know.
You gotta say the things that they don't want to say. But what I was gonna mention is, mm-hmm. it's interesting that, I guess we didn't really talk about this before, but Brian and I always mention how, or at least recently, how, you know, you can't, once you're diagnosed, you have to at some point start to live within Parkinson's. And, you know, I can still do the same things. I just might have to do them differently or less or whatever. But we never talked about the caregiver and things that, you know, how you said, you have to pivot. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that don't think or don't even recognize that they have to adjust to, or maybe they just don't want to.
Or they just don't.
I mean, because we do know, like, you know, a fair amount of people that just have, like, you know, not the greatest, you know, situations, you know, with their loved ones or with their, you know, even their extended family, but even their spouse, because, like, there's no adjustment being made.
What you're saying, though, is that it affects the relationships,
mm-hmm.
not just your financial relationships, because we all have discussions about how much are we going to spend for this, mm-hmm. and we agree or disagree. This is a whole different thing, because as time goes on, caregivers very often have to quit work. I mean, not caregivers, the patients have to quit work. My husband had to retire in 2009, 5 years after he was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only a few weeks after he'd gotten out of the rehab hospital.
Oh, wow.
Because he, even with the new medication, he was able to move. But the job he had, he worked for the federal government. He had to do a lot of statistical work. He had to be on the phone with mm-hmm. U.S. embassies overseas. His speaking ability was getting lower and lower. His volume was mm-hmm. low, and he was visibly nervous. The anxiety mm-hmm. of doing everything all at once was really affecting him. And then he started having issues where he was falling out of his chair. He couldn't sit in his chair.
Yeah.
And so I got him a chair with arms. And that's one of the first things we really adjusted, I guess, in our lives was, we have to have a chair with arms or he'll fall out.
Yeah.
Even when I'm driving, I have to keep pushing my arm this way, you know, because he'll fall into me
mm-hmm.
and we'll have a wreck.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I'm pushing him like this all the time because he's leaning to the left.
Right.
The relationship has changed. You know, we've been married 47 years mm-hmm. and we're still very much in love. The relationship changes and it's hard. The relationship also changes with your friends and other family.
Yeah.
Like our son is 43 and I couldn't do what I do if he wasn't there to help us every so mm-hmm. often. He lives not too far from us. And you adjust. Mm-hmm. You all have to adjust to a new relationship. It's tricky.
It is.
It's just really tricky.
Yeah. Well, you seem to have found a good strategy to get there and to help other people. So we appreciate the work that you're doing for the community. I hit you because you were just having a mean mug face. So I was trying.
I know. I was listening.
I know, but you were like.
I was very, I have natural resting mask face. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
No, so yeah, don't take it personal. I know.
I was like intent.
No, I'm used to the mask face. I know all about it.
But I just thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate that. This is going to be a really great segment for not just the patients, but more so for the caregivers to hear these types of things, but also for the patients to understand, you know, what the caregivers are going through as well. So I really, really appreciate all the insight that you shared.
What we have to remember is it's a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you can make yourselves a team together, you do better when you do things like that. When you're trying to do it all by yourself, it's just a harder journey.
Yeah.
So
I would love to come back on when my book is out. I can hold up my book and say, yay.
I do have a question though.
Oh, sorry. I thought.
I'm sorry. I didn't, I was listening so intently. You said you were a board certified
patient advocate.
What certifications or how did you go about doing that even?
Like, what does that mean?
I mean, am I a board certified patient?
So a board certified patient advocate is someone who's gone through training like I have. I have to be certified every 3 years. And it's so that you can learn how to work within the hospital system, how to understand who's going to be able to help you if there's a problem. If we want to, we can get deeper into looking at helping people with their insurance. I've helped people with long-term care insurance to make sure that they follow through with what they're supposed to do. A lot of companies try to short folks. So I helped one woman for 2 years with a long-term care program that she was in, and I had to continually send them the budget and what was being, you know, what we were doing and all of that. But it's really more about learning how to teach and advise. Like, I'm not there to tell you what to do as a patient advocate. I'm there to give you things to consider, options, learning all the different ways of getting around the medical community to get your best opportunity to do well.
Are you board certified? Is it like through a hospital system or the Parkinson's Foundation, or like, where do you get that training from?
No, it's actually, I joined an organization because right after I told you, I decided I had to be a patient advocate. Right after I decided that, I searched for a couple of years to find an organization that could give me a certification, because some of it I was already doing, but I wanted to see what else was out there. And the National Association of Healthcare Advocacy Consultants was the group that was working toward a certification for to be board certified as patient advocates. So there are nurses that are board certified. I don't know if there's doctors. Maybe doctors are too. But it's a very specific thing where you're going to really get in depth on helping people through their journeys.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I'd actually love to.
And I can, if you want, I can send you a link if anybody's interested that's listening later on if you want. And then I'd love to send you my links for my podcast.
Yes.
I do a podcast. I interview folks with Parkinson's and caregivers and others.
Yeah. Now, so, I remember we talked about that. So yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got six episodes up.
Do you? Good. Good, good, good.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
It is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Yeah, share. Send the links and everything to Steven. We'll put that up on the screen to share with everybody. So
okay, I will. And thank you. And I'd love to be on again. There's so much I want to impart and share with folks to help them.
I think a really good segment that we talked about before, and Brian and I have, you know, really wanted to get into, is that information on people who are still working and the insurance or Social Security and like what to do and how, you know, how different it is by state or whatever. Cause I get a lot of questions and I have no idea.
Definitely.
So that you probably should get an elder care attorney on.
Okay.
I think we've got one coming into the gym.
Oh yeah, we do. Have
yeah.
One
because
to the gym.
That is a very tricky thing because it is state.
Is it? Okay.
Especially like Medicaid and all of that. And with the new changes that may be coming, nobody is going to know for until it breaks out and they go, oh, now it's set.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're in limbo, at this point. Not sure where it's going to go.
I agree. Well, thank you again so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We really appreciate
it. Great to see you again. Nice to meet you.
Yep, and like I said, we will definitely have you on again because there's going to be a lot of caregiver conversations and questions. So I think that would be very helpful. Yep. But all right.
And remember, I'm also a Parkinson's expert. I help people. I've helped hundreds of people through their journeys with Parkinsonisms as well, like MSA, CBD. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. I might have somebody that I want to connect you with. And now that I think about that.
Okay.
Yeah,
because those are specific Parkinson's symptoms that interfere with life.
And it's very specific and much smaller community than what we have. So,
okay. Yeah, and most people don't really understand it at all.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, in our last 30 seconds, I will leave you with this. As Catherine said, there are so many things that caregivers can do for their spouse or loved one, whoever is living with Parkinson's, but also patients can do things for themselves as well. So working together as a team is critical. I would say reminder of what she said, take medication, exercise, give yourself a little bit of grace, and find a support group, an exercise group, and always be an advocate for yourself or for your loved one. So with that, we will see you next time. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is produced by Melissa Carlson and Steve Brandenburg. To contact us, email info@thesecretlifeofpd.org. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not responsible or liable for any medical advice, diagnosis, course of treatment, or any other information obtained through this podcast. The information provided by The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast. You are encouraged to consult a physician for a definitive diagnosis.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.